in humiliation and defeat, her body is discarded as one more object to be added to the huge mound of refuse that society has tossed aside. This is a scene from a 1989 film titled Romero. It depicts the unlimited brutality of political leaders in El Salvador in their efforts to crush the movement for justice and freedom among the poor in their land. And at the same time, the film reminds the viewers that the abandoned bodies and the drained blood of these visionaries are not lost, but they are indeed invested in a future hope for a world of shared abundance and a creation at peace. This movie was introduced to me by Carolina, a former parishioner of mine. She had witnessed the rape and murder of her own sister, and then she escaped the horrors in El Salvador. The movie is named after her uncle, Father Oscar Romero, who was also killed and who became another Salvadorian martyr. Father Romero's words are heard in the movie as he says, "I've often been threatened with death. If they kill me, I shall arise in the Salvadoran people. Let my blood be a seed of freedom and a sign that hope will soon be a reality." Christians around the world gather to review the horror of Jesus' crucifixion year after year on this day that we call Good. We read aloud the entire story of the arrest, the interrogation, the trial. The shouts of the mob ring out anew among us. The mockery of soldiers and the scorn of witnesses come to life as the story unfolds before us. So we wait and we watch as Jesus hangs between two criminals on a desolate hill outside the city. We listen to his final breath, and we feel his pain. And in the silence of death, we mourn, but not too deeply, let me tell you. There is really no sense of getting too upset over Jesus' death when we will be singing Alleluias in less than 48 hours. You see, perhaps only those who have carried the corpses of the dead can fully comprehend the horror of the crucifixion. Those who have called out for their sisters or their brothers or their children only to find them dead. Dead of bullets, dead of missiles, or perhaps drowned in their attempt to find a safe land, or blown up by homemade bombs, or maybe starved to death. Perhaps the horror can only be felt by those who have held the bleeding heads of leaders who dreamed of children living together in peace, or those who have been executed because of what they believed in, or simply because of the color of their skin, or preference of a partner. Maybe the horror is only comprehended by those who look in vain for their daughters, simply disappeared, vanished in this country of ours, or those who call for their children, who took their own lives out of desperation in the face of pain and lack of resources. You see, for those who mourn the dead, the crucifixion of Jesus retains its horror. And yet, the killing and the dying continues. Lies and hatred lead to violence, while truth is often saddled with blame. Competition for power strikes down the innocent. Rulers seek to silence the voice of freedom and pain out of fear that it will awaken the cry for justice among those who are oppressed. Brothers and sisters are considered enemies and not family. My friends, the world is weary with fighting, with suffering and conflict. Must this really go on forever? Perhaps we, you and I, maybe we have grown numb under the strain of this senseless violence. Perhaps the alleluias of Easter have become sort of hollow. Hollow as our observance of Good Friday, because maybe we have no deep need of hope in God's future for creation. You see, until we are wounded by the grief of the world, until that, we cannot really hope for God's new life to transform it. What I think we need to do is to tear through the anesthetized layers that shield us from the horror and brutality among us, around us, and reach into the place where we can still be touched by the suffering. So today, my friend, let yourself feel the injury of pain. Let yourself weep. After I had served communion to my congregation over a decade ago now, a woman that I had known for many years came up to me and she said with tears in her eyes, "Each time I eat the bread and drink from the cup, I remember my brother Bill, who was shot down in Vietnam." You see, the broken body, the shed blood, Jesus' passion draws itself into the suffering of the whole world. So let us cry out, my friends. Let us cry out for the vindication of our sisters. Wail for the loss of our brothers. Weep for all of our children. And know in the midst of this that the mother of Jesus weeps with us. Let the suffering of the innocent find a voice in our prayers today for the coming of the day when the suffering, the death, and the violence will come to an end. Let us all hear the voice of Jesus groaning in agony with us. How long, O Lord? How long must we bury our children in early graves? How long before nations can lay down their weapons and join hands in peace? How long before the blood of the martyrs will spring up in the freedom of the poor, the homeless, the refugees, the imprisoned? How long, O Lord? How long? Amen.